debating. Here in my face and I'm obviously gonna break them. I ain't never run from challenges, I handle them and face them. They say success will either mangle them or make them. I'm the best to ever do it. Go against me, you're stupid. They know what I gotta prove it. I win and I'll never lose it. Be the champions, what you get now. All the struggles left in this, and who the best now? Cause I'm the greatest, ain't no hating, I'm the best hit. You want your shot? Well, I guess you wait till next year. I'm at the top, get respect while I get fit. Who got a problem, huh? Tell them to step in. Hello everyone and welcome to the One Man Renegade Podcast. I'm your host, the Honorable Rick B, and it is chapter 204. We got a lot of wrestling to talk about coming up for this this chapter, this episode, whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, Drew is not with me today, so he will probably make his predictions at some point, but unfortunately will not be on the podcast. So if you're looking forward to listening to Drew ramble on about nonsense, you're just going to have to settle for me rambling on about nonsense. Mostly going to be generated, the conversation will be generated around wrestling today, because there's lots of wrestling coming up this weekend, so that's mostly what we're going to talk about. A few other little things I might throw in there, but for the most part, it's going to be wrestling-centric, as it typically has become, to be quite honest with you. And anyways, if you're new to this podcast, if you stumbled upon it somehow, you're not subscribed already, please do so on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, the OG Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, which is the SiriusXM app. Spotify, listen to music, but you want to switch over to podcast on there, and Amazon. If you're buying some stuff on Amazon, you want to listen to a podcast while you're buying some stuff, feel free to check it out on there as well. You can also check out the blog at razorvader.blogspot.com, where I that's where it hosts the podcast. For some reason, you don't want to subscribe to stuff, but you still want to check it out, you can do it over there. You also check out on Instagram and Twitter at One Man Renegade. There's also One Man Renegade Productions page on Facebook, and it's One Man Renegade Productions because there's also a YouTube channel. So head on over to YouTube, check out One Man Renegade Productions over there. Video is posted there every day, so go check it out, subscribe, like, share, comment on all everything over there as well. I do have an eBay, but I currently don't have anything up for sale. But at Razor Vader's the eBay name, my seller name, if you want to go check it out. Save me as a seller. And for when I do have some stuff for sale, you can go and purchase some stuff. But yeah, that covers everything there. So let's get into it. This weekend coming up, it's Memorial Day weekend for everyone in the United States. If you're listening from different part of the world, maybe you have a different holiday. I think there's like a bank holiday in the United Kingdom coming up this weekend to kind of just coincide with Memorial Day weekend. I'm not sure if that's on purpose or not. Or that's just the way it is. I really don't know. I don't know if Canada has a holiday. I think they had one last week. I don't know what it was, but I think Canada had a holiday last weekend. And I don't know where anywhere else where in the world, but I do know where something's going to be happening this weekend outside of the United States, and that is in Saudi Arabia, because Night of Champions, WWE Night Champions, has decided, we don't care about Memorial Day weekend in the United States. We're going to go to Saudi Arabia. Although, then they're having NXT in Lowell, Massachusetts. So, well, whatever. But it's very interesting to me, because I was looking this up, and I'm like, Memorial Day weekend in the past, specifically for WWE, but just in general for wrestling, you know, prior to AEW coming in, kind of changing things a little bit, Memorial Day weekend was typically a no-go for pay-per-views. I can only ever remember one other pay-per-view happening on Memorial Day weekend. And I could be wrong about that. There may have been Ring of Honor pay-per-views. But I don't think WWE, I don't think WCW or NWA ever had one. ECW, I don't think. Other than once. One time back in 1996, WWE, for whatever reason, decided, probably someone forgot that it was Memorial Day weekend, I don't know, and scheduled a pay-per-view for Memorial Day weekend, the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. And it was a disaster. It ended up being a disaster, not because it was Memorial Day weekend specifically, but because it was in your house, I can't remember which number it was. It might have been 6. Ooh, now it's going to bother me. But it was Beware of Dog, and it was in, I want to say South Carolina, and they had torrential hurricanes, and or not hurricanes, thunderstorms and downpours, and the weather was terrible. They lost power. North Charleston, South Carolina, Florence Civic Center. Florence, South Carolina. All right. See, here's where it gets confusing, because it was in Florence, South Carolina, and then because of the storm and them losing the power, they only ended up having a couple of matches. Well, I think they had like a free-for-all match, and then they had two matches. Mark Merrill versus Hunter Assembly and Shawn Michaels versus the Bulldog. Though they had 3 other matches scheduled, Savio Vega and Stone Cold in a Caribbean Strap match, Vader versus Yokozuna, and Goldust versus The Undertaker in a casket match for the Intercontinental Championship. Now, those three matches, the other three matches didn't happen because they lost power and whatever, and then they had to have a special Tuesday night pay-per-view to make up for it, and had the during the whatever tapings, superstar tapings or whatever, and had the finished out the three matches. That's the only other time that WWE has ever had a pay-per-view on Memorial Day weekend. And for whatever reason, well, I think there is a reason, they decided to have not one, but 2 this weekend, as they have Night of Champions on Saturday afternoon. Of course, it's in Saudi Arabia, so it's going to be on Saturday afternoon. And then Lowell, NXT Battleground on Sunday night. Now, the last time they sort of did this was Labor Day weekend of last year, which another weekend that typically was never a pay-per-view weekend until AEW came along. AEW, for whatever reason, likes having the longer weekends for their pay-per-views. And I think I understand why. Because they typically have these pay-per-views in the same places. It's in Vegas. All Out usually is Labor Day weekend. That's always in Chicago. So I think they want their fans that are going to travel to the shows to have that extra day to travel for Memorial Day weekend. Have the extra long weekend, get the extra day off. So they're more likely to go to the pay-per-views, than a normal weekend, I suppose. Now, typically, the idea of not having the pay-per-views on a long weekend is that people are typically out doing stuff and not going to be inside watching pay-per-views. So there's a bit of a catch-22 there, because on the one hand, you like having people go to your show, and if you're going to have them in the same place every time, people are typically going to travel there. But on the other hand, you're probably not going to get as many pay-per-view buys on a Sunday night that you might have if it was just a regular Sunday night. So, but for WWE, they don't care about that anymore, because they have the pay-per-views don't mean anything to them. They have, they have the deal with Peacock for the premium live events, or the network. You already paid for the network if you're watching, or you already paid for Peacock. Peacock already paid WWE. So they don't really care as much. So they want more people to go to the shows. And if it's a long weekend, or just if it's on a Saturday, because typically they never did Saturdays, always did Sundays. I've talked about this before. You're more likely to go to a show. You're more likely to go to the pay-per-view, like AEW's kind of standpoint. So obviously I think they're following suit a little bit with that idea for AEW. Now, the one thing that they are doing, and specifically this weekend, because last time they did this was back on Labor Day, and they had Clash of the Castle on the Saturday, and the NXT Worlds Collide on the Sunday, but they did in the afternoon on the Sunday, which, honestly, I don't understand why they just didn't have NXT in the United Kingdom as well, because it was Worlds Collide, it was NXT UK, and it was in the afternoon anyway, so it was like, well, whatever. It was just, you know, I guess they weren't traveling yet then for the shows. But they did in the afternoon, so it didn't go head-to-head with All Out. But this time around, they're going head-to-head with AEW Double or Nothing and going right up, same time, same exact time, up against AEW. Thought process maybe being you already have Xfinity, you already have Peacock. Maybe you don't want to spend whatever the price is for AEW Double or Nothing, which I don't know. Is it $30? No, it's $50. All right. I had no idea what the price is. It's $50 if you're getting it on Bleacher Report. I don't know. Maybe it's different prices on other things. I don't know. But, you know, maybe their thought process is, well, if you're going to watch wrestling anyways, get it for $5 for during your Peacock. Or whatever you pay for Peacock. Now, keeping in mind, Peacock is going through some changes coming up. So if you're Xfinity customer, you have gotten Peacock Premium for free since it began. You can pay extra $5 and get the Premium Plus with no ads. But if you didn't have Xfinity, you could get the free version of Peacock that only had like some stuff, or you pay $5 for the premium version or $10 for the premium plus version. That's all changing. So no longer coming, and that's not for, I think that's, I don't know, sometime in June, they're changing it to, it's not included with your Xfinity anymore. You're going to have to pay the $5 or the $10, depending on which version you want, if you want to keep having Peacock. So that's a little bit of a downturn. I think they're also just doing away with the free version altogether. I could be wrong about that. But so no longer is there going to be a free version of Peacock. So that kind of stinks, especially if you are an Xfinity customer anyways. You know, it's like, now I got to pay an extra $5 on top of what I already pay for everything else. It's a little bit of annoying, but we'll see how it goes. But that could definitely hurt viewership for WWE coming up, because there might be a lot of people that just have Xfinity or whatever, and like, oh, Peacock's cool, I wouldn't pay for it, but it's cool, I have it. Oh, wrestling's on, I might check that out. Now they might not get that, because people might not want to pay the extra $5 or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. Yeah, so going head-to-head, it's an interesting... I mean, honestly, like... It's a bit annoying because it is Memorial Day weekend, so it's like I want to go out and do stuff, but here we got this Saturday afternoon pay-per-view, and then there's two Sunday night pay-per-views. Well, got to watch one of them, but then I'm going to watch the other one on Monday. Like, you know, it's like, hey, guys, what can we just spread these out a little bit? Because, I mean, think about it. If they had, let's say WWE had their pay-per-view this weekend in Saudi, whatever. Next weekend, or, you know, whatever. Even if AEW had their pay-per-view this weekend, fine. Because, you know, I get it. AEW's, this is typically their weekend. This has been, you know, AEW Double or Nothing's been on Memorial Day weekend ever since the beginning. So, but let's say next week, let's say AEW's Double or Nothing was this week. Next week, they did... Now, obviously, you don't want to get too close to your other pay-per-views, but, you know, you had Backlash 3 weeks ago. So, if you have Night of Champions next week, all right, so that's a four-week, you know, gap. And then Money in the Bank isn't until July 1st. That'd be another four-week gap, be perfectly in between. So, you could have had Night of Champions next week. And then for NXT, you could have had that on the 17th, maybe. I don't know. Could have spread it out a little more. We could have had pay-per-views every weekend for 5 weeks, because if we had Double or Nothing this week, then next weekend we had Night of Champions, the week after that, or no, I guess there'd be one week off. But anyways, the point is, still is, you could have had pay-per-views 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 out of the next 6 weekends. Because you would have had, so let's say they did Double or Nothing this week. Next week was Night of Champions, maybe you skip a week, the 17th or 18th, whatever, was Battleground. Then on the 25th, they have Double or Nothing, AEW Double or Nothing. I think it's on the 25th or that weekend anyways. And then the next weekend, you'd have Money in the Bank. I mean, that's just like every weekend, you just be like, all right, sweet, another wrestling pay-per-view. Sweet, another wrestling pay-per-view. You just kind of like get used to it as opposed to, oh, hey, there's three this weekend, and then we don't get, and then we have to wait 4 more weeks for another pay-per-view. Or, you know, whatever. And then you got two in a row, back-to-back weekends. But, like, couldn't spread them out a little bit, guys? Come on, get together on this. I mean, they're not, and whatever. But even WWE, just in and of itself, it's like, I got it back in the day when they used to have NXT the night before the WWE pay-per-views and whatever venue they were in. And I get that, and it works, you know, and I get that for, like, WrestleMania weekend and whatever. And when they used to do it, like, around the big pay-per-views, it's like, all right, one of the nights is NXT, and then, you know, whatever. But it's not, they didn't do it that way, and they haven't done it that way. Like, it's like, you know, Night Champions is in Saudi Arabia. NXT is in Lowell. You know, last time it was the UK and Orlando. It's like, if you're not running the same building or town or whatever, like, why do you have to have it on the same weekend? Like, spread it out a little more, you know? You might get, and here's a thought, you might get the same people going to both show. If you, I mean, not in this case, Saudi Arabia versus Lowell. I'm probably not with, well, I mean, I guess that probably wouldn't be the case if they're going to do it the way, this way, where the one's like an international event and the other one's in the United States. But still, it's like, you could spread it out a little bit, guys. You know, not, you don't have to put everything out at the same time. I don't know. Just my thoughts. I know I've been babbling on about nothing so far and haven't gotten to any of the actual matches or anything like that. So let's get into it. Night of Champions coming up on Saturday, the 27th. It is from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia at the Jeddah Superdome. The show itself starts at 1. The pre-show starts at 12. I still don't know what they're doing with the pre-shows anymore. Like, you used to at least get one match on the pre-shows. Even the free-for-all back in 1996 at In Your House, Beware Your Dog, there was a free-for-all match. Wait, what was it? Smoking Guns versus somebody? I was just looking it up, and then I went away, and I didn't mention what it was. Or did I? Now I don't remember what I even said. Yes, it was the Smoking Guns defeated the Godwins for the WWF Tag Team Champions. Sunny was in the Godwins' corner, and then I believe she turned on them and joined the Smoking Guns, if I remember correctly. But I'm like, that's my point. You literally had a title change on the pre-show. Now you don't even get matches on the pre-show anymore. Now, I know I don't want to go crazy with it, because, like, there's two versions of the pre-show, and WWE's on one extreme and AEW's on the other extreme, where AEW will probably have 4 matches on the pre-show. I feel like that's what they've done the last few times, is have at least 4 matches on the pre-show. And it's like, what? And a lot of times these matches aren't even announced ahead of time. So it's like, oh, here's some random matches for the pre-show. And it's like, you burnt out a little bit. They burn people out with, like, oh, here's a bunch more wrestling. And it's like, you know, I get it. It's cool. Wrestling's great. Everyone loves wrestling. But more is not always more. Less is more sometimes. So you get the anticipation of the big matches coming up. It's like, well, like, you just have these other matches. It's kind of, I don't know. Especially if they're just random matches for the sake of having random matches. There's no, like, background or anything. It's like, it's a pay-per-view. You don't, you know, this isn't your weekly TV show. Like, that's what the weekly TV show is for sometimes. I get it, but I don't know. Anyways, regardless, my point is, I don't think there'll be any matches on the pre-show. Because for whatever reason, WWE has gone away from that. The only time they have had a match on the pre-show recently, somewhat recently, whatever, was Night of, or Clash at the Castle, when they had, I think it was like the Street Profits and somebody. Nah, I don't remember. Versus somebody and somebody. It was like a 6-man, I believe. At the Castle, let's see. But that's the only time I can remember there being a pre-show match in, like, the last couple years. It was Madcap Moss and the Street Profits against Austin Theory and Alpha Academy. Interesting show. Interesting match, I should say. But my overall point there is I don't think there'll be a pre-show match. And NXT is... I can't remember NXT ever having pre-show matches. Maybe once or twice. And all the times they've had their premium live events or takeovers or whatever. But anyways, let's get to it. So yeah, 1 o'clock is the start of the show. 12 o'clock is kickoff on the Peacock or the WWE Network, whatever you are subscribed to, wherever it's available and wherever you are, and whatever you're subscribed to, I guess, whatever. So let's get into it. There are 7 matches scheduled. Now, I suppose they could add something on SmackDown or something like that. Although SmackDown was pre-taped, so I kind of doubt they would set up any... They would have set up anything on SmackDown to add another match. One glaring omission, I will say, from this card is that the United States Championship isn't being defended. But it is being defended on SmackDown. Now, it's already taped. I don't know. I didn't look at any spoilers, so I don't know what happened. Sheamus was challenging Austin Theory for the United States Championship. But that, you know, it is Night of Champions, so it's kind of weird that they didn't have that on the show. But had it on SmackDown instead. But maybe something happens in the match on SmackDown, or happened, since it already got taped, that's going to set up a rematch or something at Night Champion. So that's the only thing I could see maybe being added. I doubt it, but potentially. So let's get into it. We'll start off with our 2 non-title matches. Well, no. We'll start off with one of our non-title matches, because the other non-title match could potentially be the main event. But we got Becky Lynch taking on Trish Stratus, of course. Trish returned to help Lita and Becky Lynch against Damage Control. Then Becky and Lita won the tag titles, which, you know, and then they had their match at WrestleMania, and then Lita got hurt, and Becky took her, Trish took her spot, and she lost the tag titles, and then she turned on Becky, and then Becky went missing, whatever. Now they're back, they're going to have the match. A lot of people thought maybe they would space this out and spread it towards maybe SummerSlam, but they're having it now, which doesn't mean they can't have eventually a rematch or something at SummerSlam or Money in the Bank or whatever. But if they're gonna do that, then Trish has got to win here. And I think, from what I understand, Trish is sticking around for a bit, so I feel like I don't think they're ready to blow this feud off yet. So I'm gonna go with Trish Stratus to win this, and then Becky to get revenge. Probably at Money in the Bank, now that I think about it. Unless they're just both in the Money in the Bank match, which that could make sense too. But obviously Becky's going to play a big role at Money in the Bank, since it's in, you know, in the UK. I mean, she's Irish. I know it's Ireland, but whatever. That's, you know, it's not that far. I mean, I'm sure she could have a big fan base in London, even though she's from Ireland. But regardless... but so they could do something there, but either way, I think if you want to extend this feud, you got to have Trish win. So there we go. All right, move on. We got Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali won a battle royal, number one contender's battle royal to get the shot. That'd be crazy if Mustafa Ali won. I just don't see it. I know he's got some... I don't know. But, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't... I'm trying to think of any scenario that would make sense for Mustafa Ali to win. And if Gunther if Gunther hasn't, but then here's one of the issues I think they run into, WWE has run into recently, is that if Gunther hasn't had this long reign as Intercontinental Champion, you know, it's been, I don't know how long it's been at this point, but it's been a fairly long reign. I feel like, you know, it's one of those things they've been doing recently where they want to have these longer reigns. I mean, obviously, seeing with Roman Reigns, no pun intended there. But, you know, I remember, you know, even going back to the New Day, you know, beating the tag title record, but then the Usos broke that record. I mean, Roman's getting to 1,000 days. A lot of people are like, wait, why is he getting to 1,000 days and not defending the title? But that's neither here nor there. So if Gunther breaks Honky Tonk Man's record, it would not surprise me. He's still a ways away. But let's say he only had it for a month or two. I could see them pulling like a surprise victory by Mustafa Ali here, and then having, you know, Gunther win it back, you know, on Raw on Monday or whatever. But I just don't think they want to break up the reign. So I'm going to go Gunther to win that. And we have the similar situation in this next match. We got Bianca Belair defending the Raw Women's Championship against Asuka. I mean, we also have the issue of the fact that Bianca Belair is on SmackDown now, but she's the Raw Women's Champion. In previous times, they've just switched belts, but we run into that issue because if you just switch belt, that ends the reign and starts a new one because, you know, she's had it and she's the longest reigning modern women's champion. I don't really know how you even factor in Fabulous Moolah's reign that lasted like 40 years, but she never defended it or something, or whatever it was. Like, they just like pretended she did, or like she would every once in a while, but like it wasn't really like a defended belt or I don't know. I don't even know how that worked, or how that even was explained, but regardless, if you ignore that, yes, Bianca Belair has had the longest women's championship reign in modern history. So that you can't really do that. Now, you could rename the titles, and that would make sense. A lot of people are kind of clamoring. We have, you know, the World Heavyweight Championship and the Universal Heavyweight Championship, or previously the WWE Championship, or whatever. You wouldn't, for the men. So it's like, why can't you just have the WWE Women's Championship and the Universal Women's Championship, or whatever you want to call them? Which I could see them doing, because, yeah, you don't want to take that away from Bianca, unless you're going to have her lose it, which, arguably, maybe she should. But is it going to be against Asuka in a rematch from WrestleMania from 2 months ago, when she then already had a match last month in between that, against Io Sky? I don't know that that makes sense. I just don't know that that makes sense. So I'm going to go with Bianca Belair to retain. But even lesser sense would be the next match, is that Natalya taking on Rhea Ripley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. To have Natalya randomly beat Rhea Ripley in a feud that just literally came out of nowhere and doesn't seem to make sense, other than it's like, oh crap, we don't have anyone for Rhea to fight. Let's just throw Natalya at her. Because obviously Rhea fought Zelina Vega last month in Puerto Rico, but, you know, technically that was kind of a weird match anyways, because, well, they did the draft, you know, it's like, all right, well, the draft sort of counts now, and it was weird. But now, I mean, Zelina Vega is technically on SmackDown, or is on SmackDown, and Rhea, even though she's SmackDown Women's Champion, is on Raw, so it's like, well, now you gotta have someone on Raw fight Rhea, and here's Natalya. Because why not? I highly doubt that Natalya is going to win. But if you want to do a little surprise, and like kind of like a crazy thing, and a surprise, you know, championship switch or whatever. You know, Rhea's only had the belt for a couple months, so it's not going to take away from that reign. And maybe you want to start building her up for, you know, more title reigns. You know, like they do with Charlotte. You know, Charlotte's a whatever time champion now. Maybe you build Rhea up to take that reign. You know, it's like, well, have her lose it a few times and then she wins it back, you know, kind of like they have done. So I don't know, but I mean, I can't talk myself into taking Natalya, though. So I'm going to go with Rhea. Ripley. And that brings us to our triple main event, as they're referring it to as. They keep calling it a triple main event, which, I mean, sure, but at the same time, it's like only one of the matches is going to go on at the end, and that really should be the main event. Not always. I mean, typically, it should be, but there's a lot of times, there's been a lot of pay-per-views where the wrong match went on last, and everyone thinking back remembers the other match kind of being the main event of it, despite it not going on last. But, you know, that's more hindsight, you know, afterthought, revisionist stuff, as opposed to, wait, what was the match that went on last? Isn't the match that goes on last the main event? Well, sure. But, I mean, it's like, then you have, if you have one of these matches, you know, on first, and then one last, it's like, I kind of get being first. If you're not first, you're last. No, that's not the phrase I'm looking for. But it's like, if you're not on last, be on first, right? So I don't know which order to go into this, but let's just go with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defending the WWE Tag Team Championships against the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, and Solo Sikoa with Paul Heyman in their corner. Now, will the Usos get involved is the big question mark. I kind of got to imagine they will now that they're okay to go across, you know, outside the United States. Well, I think Jay was, but Jimmy wasn't. But now that's all out of, that's, I guess, past the statute of limitations or whatever. Now, the bigger thing here is that the fact that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are in this match because I think Sami Zayn was basically just banned from going. Now, I never was totally sure if he was banned from going or he just didn't want to go, chose not to go. Not 100% sure. I know Kevin Owens chose not to go because of Sami Zayn, because he went to the first one, the Greatest Royal Rumble, as did like John Cena and Daniel O'Brien, and then they were like, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore. Whereas Sami Zayn, I think he wasn't allowed to. I think there's a few guys that weren't allowed to go for varying reasons. Now, the reason with Sami Zayn is because he's of Syrian descent. And Syria and Saudi Arabia have not gotten along in many, many years or whatever. Supposedly, things are better between them? Question mark? I don't know. I'm not a politician, so I don't really know what's going on. So I guess that means Sami Zayn's allowed to go? Or maybe Sami Zayn is just choosing to go? Either way, it's a big match, and Sami Zayn's obviously a big part of the product right now. So for him not to go, it's also Knight of Champions, so you got to defend the belts. Although, where's Austin Theory? Never mind. All right, but Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. Now, I know they're supposed to be on the KO show on SmackDown tomorrow. I'm recording this on Thursday. Obviously, it's already recorded. I don't know. I didn't want to list the spoilers. I mean, I'm assuming the Usos get involved somehow. I don't know if that's really changed anything for my prediction or what I think might happen. I know I also announced that next Friday on SmackDown, they're going to have the 1,000-day celebration for Roman Reigns. Now, why Roman Reigns isn't defending the title at this, you know, event, you know, to secure the 1,000-day reign, I don't know. Interesting decision, but I mean, I guess they never really finished the Roman Reigns Sami Zayn story. Like, you know, they kind of finished the Kevin Owens Sami Zayn and Uso story at WrestleMania to some degree, and then they sort of, I mean, but then they had the 6-man at Backlash, and it's like, well, they kind of left a sour taste in people's mouth because, you know, the Bloodline won. But here we are having this match. It's like, are they ever going to be done with the story? Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, there's a bit of, you know, turmoil inside the bloodline. Usos aren't exactly happy with Roman. Roman is not happy with the Usos because they dedicated the match that they then lost to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Then he dedicated this match to the Wild Samoans. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn dedicated the match to the Usos. Sosko got bumped into by Roman. There was a bit of a weird look at each other. So there could be something there. So I don't know. But at the end of the day, I kind of think Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa are going to win. Because if they don't, if they lose, right? I don't know where you go from there. Because it's like, oh, hey, Usos, we lost too. Unless you have the Usos cost them the match. That's the only thing I can think of that would make sense if they lose. But then if they lose, who takes the pin? Because it's like, well, Solo Sikoa just beat them last month. In the six man. I mean, technically he beat Riddle, but regardless. But you have Roman, your champion, lose. Like, that's a tough one to do. But the Usos get involved, cost them the match. I could see that. But then if they win, then like they could shove it in the Usos' face too. And then you have the Usos eventually beat them for the tag titles. That makes sense too. If you're gonna do something, if you're gonna have the bloodline explode, you do that, right? Because that makes, then have Solo turn on Roman, to cost him the match, cost him the titles against the Usos. Because having Roman Solo turn on Roman here doesn't really make a ton of sense against Owens and Zayn. What makes more sense is Roman and Solo win the tag titles. Then they fight the Usos. Solo turns on Roman to have the Usos win. Then eventually you do Solo Roman. And I don't know when that is. That might not be now. That might be a year from now. I don't know that you want them to have the tag titles that long. But the other thing you could do with that, though, is have if you have Roman and Solo win this. Because there's the other issue that we have here now is that, while they are solving the Roman issue, and we'll talk about that match coming up, you also have the tag title issue. It's like, well, you have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are both set of tag teams champions, which I guess means they can be on both shows, whereas I guess the issue with the world, the WWE and Universal title was, well, Roman's only showing up every once in a while, and he's not always here, and he's just going to be on SmackDown. But it's like, if you want to say, hey, Kevin and Sammy, you're supposed to be on Raw. Here's how you break up the tag titles then, because then you can do the same thing you just did. Be like, oh, Roman's tag champion now too. Now we gotta introduce new tag champions for Raw, and that's the way you split up the tag titles again. So you know what? Yeah, I'm just gonna go Roman Solo. I think for me it makes more sense. I know Sammy and Kevin only got them in WrestleMania, but like I don't know necessarily they need to be tag champions. Not that Roman and Solo do either, but that's how you get the Usos in this situation, and that's how you split up the tag title. I don't know. I'm probably overthinking it, but there we go. All right, so then we got Cody Rhodes taking on Brock Lesnar in a rematch from Backlash. Cody, of course, getting the surprise pin on Brock at Backlash. Then Brock then beat up this past weekend, past Monday, beat up Cody Rhodes pretty good. Then broke his arm potentially, so he might have a broken arm. So his match is technically in question. Of course, Cody didn't want to see medical people because he was afraid they were going to rule him out of the match for Saudi Arabia. And then Triple H kind of like said, whatever. Which, I question that, given that they allowed him to fight with a torn pec in a Hell in a Cell match. Which they do mention. It's like, hey, you fought with a torn pec in a Hell in a Cell match, but you might have a broken arm, so you can't fight. It's like, well, why did they let him fight in the Hell in a Cell match, torn pec, and if they're now not going to let him fight with a broken arm? This kind of doesn't make a ton of sense. When it's kayfabe broken arm versus a real torn pec, but hey, whatever. Now, a lot of people are speculating they're going to add some sort of stipulation to this match, which wouldn't surprise me. I got to mention, because they were like, Brock wanted to fight, So it's like, this ends up being a street fight, which I'm surprised it isn't. I'm surprised they just didn't announce it as a street fight. But a lot of people are then speculating, well, they're going to have another match potentially at SummerSlam. Maybe that's when you have the no-holds-barred match or whatever you want to call it. I think cage match or Hell in a Cell might make more sense. But whatever. I'm sure they'll be... I gotta imagine they'll do something with no DQ or something in this match. But either way. You know, I mean, it's kind of one of those scenarios, again, where if you want this feud to continue, and from whatever you think, I think it will. I feel like the blow-off will be at SummerSlam. What are you doing between for Money in the Bank? Well, I have a theory on that. Now, Brock isn't scheduled to be at Money in the Bank, but I could see him maybe costing Cody Rhodes Money in the Bank, similar to how he cost him in the tournament for the World Heavyweight Championship, and that then sets up a third match at SummerSlam. But why would Brock do that unless he loses? And that's the tricky part of this, because it's like, well, if you're gonna have a third match, wouldn't Brock then have to beat Cody to then have the rubber match, the third match? But it's not what they did with Seth and Cody. So I could see them doing that again. Maybe Cody gets another sneaky pin on Brock, or some weird scenario where he wins, but it's not really, it's not, it's not very conclusive. It's, oh, it was a lucky win sort of type of thing. And then Brock's mad again, cost him Money in the Bank, sets up a final match in Hell in a Cell. So I'm going to go with Cody to win. I mean, I just talked myself in it, because I was walking in that thinking, oh, Brock's going to win. But now I think Cody's going to win. All right. And then the main event, potentially main event, whatever main event, one of the main events, is the tournament final for the inaugural World Heavyweight Championship. Got Seth freaking Rollins from Raw taking on AJ Styles from SmackDown. Now, the weird thing about this, though, is that AJ Styles just moved from Raw to SmackDown along with the OC. So to then have him win this and go right back to Raw kind of doesn't make any sense. It kind of makes me think that they pulled an audible here too. I don't know. It's just, it's confusing. I don't know. I just feel like it's a weird scenario if AJ Styles wins. Now, Seth wins makes more sense, but Seth winning is kind of obvious, I think. Too obvious, maybe. Seth also doing some, he's working on, he joined the New World Order. He's working on Captain America New World Order for Marvel. Now, I don't know how in-depth that is. He might have just been filming a couple scenes and he's done. I don't really know. But the whole point of this title was to have a title that's going to be on every week on Raw, being defended a lot, because Roman doesn't defend his as much and isn't on all the time and whatever, blah blah blah. But yeah, so I mean, it's a tough for me to say go against Seth Rollins for all those things, especially since AJ Styles kind of set up something for Grayson Waller on SmackDown last week. He's having a match with Karrion Kross. I guess that's on SmackDown this week. I just don't totally know why you would move AJ back to Raw that quickly. Because it's like, there were people in the tournament that were already on SmackDown. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, if you then move them over to Raw, like if you didn't get, they were on SmackDown and got, stayed on SmackDown. But then if you moved them over to Raw because they won the title, I kind of understand that. I get that. It's like, well, they weren't just on Raw. But to then move AJ Styles back to Raw, I don't know. Doesn't make a ton of sense. But I'm going to go with Seth Rollins just because I feel like he's going to win it. And I don't want to talk myself out of it, because it seems too obvious, but sometimes too obvious is what it is. All right, so there it is, Night of Champions. Saturday afternoon. 1 o'clock start time on Peacock or whatever. Eastern time, I should say. 1 o'clock Eastern time, the kickoff show at 12. All right, moving on to Sunday. We got NXT Battleground in Lowell, Massachusetts. The Songhees Center. Used to be the Songhees Arena. They changed it to Songhees Center. I think it was when UMass Lowell bought it. Because it used to just be its own thing, and then UMass Lowell bought it. So it's part of UMass Lowell now. So maybe that's when they changed the name of it. I don't honestly don't know. I haven't been there in a long time. But yeah, we got Battleground. There are 6 matches scheduled. Again, I doubt there'll be any more added. And I doubt there'll be a pre-show match. But you never know. It could be. All right. Starting things off, we have a... Well, they're all... Let's see. They're all title matches except for one. So we'll start off the non-title match to kick things off. Ilya Dragunov taking on Dijak in a last man standing match. These guys have been going at it tooth and nail, as they say. Battling each other for the better part of the last month or so. Not going to have a last man standing match. I'm going to go with Ilya Dragunov. Although, Dijak's the local guy. He's a local guy. So, I mean, they've hyped up a lot of the local stuff with Carmelo Hayes, but not so much Dijak. But I'm still going to go with Ilya Dragunov. And then we got... the Heritage Cup is back. The NXT, formerly UK Heritage Cup, Noam Dar had it when the NXT UK went under. And then wasn't around forever. And then finally showed up and he's like, hey, you know, I got this thing. Might as well defend it. So it's a British Rounds rules match, which was an interesting concept for NXT UK. And I thought it was going to end there, but they're bringing it over. Let's see how it goes. If you're not familiar, there's 6 rounds. I think they're 3-minute rounds. I can't remember how long the rounds are. But, and it's 2 out of 3 falls. And if you win a fall, it ends the round. And if you get to the end and there's no winner, it just is a draw. Or, I think. Or, no, people win rounds. I forget how it works. I honestly forget how it works. But anyways, we got Noam Dar versus Dragon Lee. I mean, I feel like Dragon Lee should win this. But I feel like the Heritage Cup makes more sense for Noam Dar. Because, like, if Dragon Lee wins the Heritage Cup, it's almost like, why? Like, is that a way to just get rid of it, you know? It's like, okay, Dragon Lee's the Heritage Cup winner now? I don't know. But I don't see him losing. So I'm going to go with Dragon Lee. All right. Next up, we have a tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championships. We got Gallus, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang, along with Joe Coffey, taking on Creed Brothers, Brutus, and Julius Creed. I'm assuming they'll have Ivy Nile in their corner. Now, Stax... so Tony D'Angelo got arrested for something, shenanigans. We don't know yet. He's trying to get out of it, but, you know he's been detained. Stax tried to help out with against Gallus with the Creed Brothers and even offered his services, but they said, no, we don't need it. We'll give you a shot if we win the tag titles. So apparently, I'm going to imagine they somehow get involved. I don't know what that means and whatever. But I think Gallus is going to keep the titles. Yeah. And then next up, we have a triple threat match for the North American Championship. Wesley defending against Tyler Bate and Joe Gacy. Now, this is kind of an interesting scenario where Wesley and Tyler Bate were becoming friendly, and Joe Gacy kind of like intervened and was like, hey, don't trust him. Don't trust him. He's coming after that belt too, and I'm coming for it as well. And then Tyler Bate's like, yeah, I kind of do want the belt. And then Wesley got mad at Tyler Bate about it. So, triple threat. So it's a tough one. I think Wesley's gonna retain. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna go with Wesley. Unless the only other thing I can think of is maybe. I mean, I don't see Joe Gacy winning. Tyler Bate, I could see winning, but I feel like if he wins, he's gotta go heel. I don't know what that means necessarily because it's triple threat. Because like it's like how it's like he's just gonna, but I could see some nefarious stuff happening, and Tyler Bate just leaning into it and going heel, and winning the title. But nah, I'm just gonna Wesley. Talk to myself. I don't want to talk to myself about that one. All right, then next up we have the tournament final for the vacant NXT Women's Championship. Laya Valkyria taking on Tiffany Stratton. Now this goes back to Stand and Deliver when Roxanne Perez was out injured after a match with Miko Satomura. They took the belt off her, sort of. We're gonna have the ladder match without her in it, but then she's like, no, actually I'm fine. A lot of people thought Tiffany Stratton was gonna win that. Of course Indy Hartwell ended up winning, which everyone's kind of like, okay. Wasn't expecting that. Then she got hurt in a triple threat match against, what was it? Who was even in that? Now I'm blanking who was in the match. Regardless, then she got drafted to Raw. Anyways, so then then they're like, oh, we need a new champion. So as opposed to the tag champions, the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, which that just went to SmackDown with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. It's like, wait, but they got drafted, but they didn't have to give up their titles, but Indy Hartwell got drafted, but she had to give up her title. I mean, she was also injured, so maybe that was I don't know. Either way, regardless, they had the tournament. It come down to Tiffany Stratton and Lyra Valkyria, I think, much like a lot of people thought last time out. At Stand and Deliver, I believe it is going to be Tiffany Stratton winning this time. And I'm probably wrong again. But regardless. Alright. Did I skip a match? No, did I just not write something down? So yeah, I'm looking over. We got Wesley and Dragon Lee winning, so it's going to be a nice night for the Lee boys. All right, finally, the main event of the evening, local hero, Carmelo Hayes, who had been doing the rounds recently. He was at a Celtics game, I guess. I'm not sure which Celtics game he was at. He's from Framingham, Massachusetts. Now, they built him for Boston now, but he was built from Worcester at one point. Either way, he's not from Lowell, but they kind of played it up. I mean, as a local guy, and yeah, he's from Framingham, which is close enough to Lowell, I guess. Defending the NXT Championship against the former champion, Bron Breakker, who a lot of people thought was going to get called up during the draft and didn't. Of course, Trick Williams will be in Carmelo Hayes's corner. Of course, this is a kind of swap from the last time they fought in terms of roles. Bron Breakker being the heel now, Carmelo the face. I mean, if he wasn't the face, he'd be the face in his hometown, right? So I guess it makes sense. Now, of course, the whole hometown thing a lot of time backfires in WWE. So will that happen? I don't think so. I think Carmelo Hayes is going to retain in his hometown. So there we go. Alright, so that does it for NXT Battleground. Sunday night, I believe the kickoff show, it starts at 7 or 7:30, I'm not 100% sure, but either way, the main show starts at 8 o'clock on Peacock or WWE Network or whatever. It is on wherever you are. Alright, but at the same time, over on the other side of the country, in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena, AEW will be having Double or Nothing, one of their, I guess, technically their first pay-per-view was Double or Nothing back in 4 years ago on Memorial Day weekend in 2019. I think they were at the MGM Grand that time around, but now they're in the T-Mobile Arena for this one. 9 matches are scheduled, and they're probably adding a bunch. They'll probably add at least three more to the pre-show, maybe four. Maybe they'll add another match. I mean, Rampage hasn't happened yet. I honestly don't know when Rampage is supposed to be on. It's been on at random times and bouncing around, and who knows when it's on. 3 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 5 in the afternoon, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Who knows when it's on? So there could be stuff added on that show. Who knows? Yeah. So, but anyways, what was I saying? Rampage is kind of going to be downgraded from what it is to basically the C show coming up or whatever. Because AEW Collision starts in June 17th. Now, there was a lot of debate on what was going on with the Collision, because apparently CM Punk was supposed to be announced for it, and then it was supposed to be in Chicago, and then they didn't announce him for it, and it wasn't in Chicago, but now it is in Chicago, but he isn't announced for it, but everyone's just expecting him to be there. That's going to be like his show. It's going to be a separate from Dynamite. It's going to have its own kind of brand. They're bringing back a lot of people that haven't been on TV in a while, like Andrade and Miro and Thunder Rosa and whoever else may end up. And Samoa Joe, for some reason, even though he's on Ring of Honor. I mean, he's the Ring of Honor television champion, but he's on Ring of Honor. But they're going to tape Ring of Honor at the same time they're taping, on the same night as they're taping Collision, so it kind of makes sense and works. But then there might be people on both shows, and the champions are going to float in between, and I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. I don't know that AEW needed another show. They have enough people for another show, that's for sure. Whether or not they needed another show is another question, especially when they have Ring of Honor, which I don't know if anyone watches that. You signed up to Ring of Honor Club, Honor Club, or whatever. Or why they couldn't have just made that the new show. It's like, why did they buy Ring of Honor, do this whole thing with Ring of Honor, and then be like, hey, you know, we're actually going to do a whole other show? It's like, couldn't have Ring of Honor just been the other show? Why do you need to have another show? I don't know. But anyways, I guess that was the whole debate with WCW back in the day when WWE bought WCW, and they were going to have WCW. The brand split was going to be WCW and WWE, and then they ran the Buff Bagwell Booker T match and everyone hated it, and then it was kind of like the networks kind of like, yeah, we don't want WCW, we want WWE. We understand it's, you know, it's going to be WWE WCW, but we still don't want that. Or I guess WWF WCW. We want WWF. We don't want WCW. You know, but it's like, well, but it's owned by we're running it. It's, you know, So I don't know. But anyways, now I'm just babbling. All right. So yeah, there are 9 matches scheduled at the moment. I'm sure they're gonna add some more to the pre-show, maybe more to the main show. Who knows how many matches it ends up being, but we'll go with the 9 we got so far. All right, kicking things off, we got a 6-man tag team match. If the Hardys win, Matt Hardy owns Ethan Page's contract. Now, it was scheduled to be Ethan Page and the Guns, Austin and Colton, taking on the Hardys and Isaiah Cassidy. Now, I know one spoiler from Rampage, and it actually already is updated on the Wikipedia page. Isaiah Cassidy gets hurt on Rampage, and then Hook takes his place. So it's going to be Hook. Hardy's and Hook. I don't know. I don't know. Who cares? Like, honestly, I don't care. I don't know what they'll do with the Ethan Page contract thing, but honestly, whatever. They had like a firm deletion thingy. It was not great. I don't know. They just need the Hardys to go on a tag run, which they've been teasing, and get rid of all this nonsense. Now, obviously, they're fighting the Guns, so I get it, but it's like, we don't need this Ethan Page stuff. We don't need Hook involved. Just have the Hardys go on a tag title run, whether they win or not, whatever. But speaking of tag titles, let's just go to that match since I was talking about it. We have FTR defending the AEW World Tag Team Championships against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, who will have Karen Jarrett, Sonjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh in their corner. And Mark Briscoe will serve as a special guest referee. A lot of nonsense going on in this feud. Why Jeff Jarrett's involved, I don't know. I just, it's very WCW of AEW, but I think that's what they're leaning in towards. They're just trying to be WCW. Which, I mean, depending on which version of WCW they want to be, that can work, but we all know what happened to WCW, so let's just hopefully they don't fall into the same traps that WCW did. But either way, I do see FTR winning this. I, you know, they didn't put up their careers on the line to win them, just to then lose them to Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. It's not happening. Next up, we got Jade Cargill defending the AEW TBS Championship against Taya Valkyrie. This is confusing because I get Lyra Valkyria and Taya Valkyrie. Confusing. Yeah, I mean, they bought in Taya to kind of, oh, maybe this is the person that's going to beat Jade Cargill. Nah, I don't know what they're doing with Jade Cargill. Honestly, it's getting boring at this point. I mean, it's been boring for a while, to be quite honest with you. You know, eventually she's got to lose. The other problem I have with, I mean, it's kind of weird, though, when you think about it. It's like, she's been around for 2 years, 2+ years now. She's like 50-something and 0. It's like, wasn't Goldberg like 173-0? And he'd only been around for like a little over a year when he lost to Kevin Nash. He started in September, debuted in September, lost in December of the next year to Kevin Nash, and was 173-0. But yet Jade Cargill has been wrestling for over 2 years now, and it's only 50-something-0. I mean, I get it. They don't have as many shows, or at least they didn't. They do now. Maybe they'll start upping the number. Although they tried to this week, actually. They had her wrestle like 3 times, but then Taya came out and ruined the whole thing. It's like, just have her like beat 12 people in a row, just get the number up, have her beat. I mean, I think Asuka technically has a record. I forget what the record is. Well, whatever record, it's made up nonsense. But I know Asuka beat Goldberg's record, but I don't know if that was number of matches or time-wise. Because Jade's already passed it time-wise, but number of matches. It must have been number of matches, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. You could have 3 matches over the course of 7 years and beat that. So, whatever. But either way, I don't see Jade Cargill losing. Alright, next up, just keeping up with the women, we got Toni Storm taking on Jamie Hayter. I'm assuming their people are going to be in their corners to some degree. I don't really know. I don't see Jamie Hayter losing, so that's pretty much all I got going on for that. So, Jamie Hayter. Alright, next up we have a Blackjack Battle Royal going against the Casino, different from the Casino Battle Royal, I'm guessing. Because, unlike with the Casino Battle Royal where it's like, they put in, what was it? Everyone gets a card, and then there's 4 groups of cards, but then there's the Joker. As far as I know, that's not part of this, but it is also for the international championship. So Orange Cassidy is defending. Other participants are Ricky Starks, The Butcher, The Blade, Bandito, Commander, Lee Moriarty, Big Bill, Ari Davari, Tony Nese, Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, Kip Sabian, Ray Phoenix, Penta L, Zero Miedo, Swerve Strickland, Brian Cage, Jay White, Juice Robinson, Keith Lee, and Dustin Rhodes. There's just too many people in it to make me think that Orange Cassidy's going to lose. So I'm just going to go with Orange Cassidy to win. All right, next up, we got, what have I missed here? Wardlow taking on Christian Cage in a ladder match for the AEW TNT Championship. Now, I kind of want to pick Christian Cage in this, and obviously Luchasaurus is going to be with Christian Cage and Arn Anderson will be with Wardlow. But the fact that they keep ping-ponging off of Wardlow, having him lose, then he wins it back, have him lose, and then he wins it back. I don't know that they'll do that. And it's kind of ruined Wardlow's, I mean, the whole thing has kind of ruined Wardlow's momentum, to be quite honest with you. But at the same time, I mean, I kind of think Christian Cage is going to win. So I'm going to go with Christian Cage. And probably be completely wrong, but it's just like, I just don't know. Because Powerhouse Hobbs nowhere to be found. He, you know, he beat him for the title and then lost it right back. Then, all right, what do we have left? I'm kind of going out of order, so I'm just trying to figure out what I have left. All right, so we got Adam Cole taking on Chris Jericho in an unsanctioned match where Sabu will serve as a special guest enforcer to counteract the JAS. Of course, Roddy Strong will probably be with Adam Cole, so there'll be a bunch of nonsense. Which is odd, given that the next match we're going to talk about after this is also going to be probably a bunch of nonsense, as is kind of the name of the game with that match. But we got two nonsensical matches, probably, just with a bunch of nonsense. Which may be too much nonsense. But hey, you know, it's AEW for you. But it's got to be Adam Cole. Which means Jericho will probably win, but... For what I've read, what I've heard, the rumors being Adam Cole is going to get a shot at something at Forbidden Door, which is the next pay-per-view. A lot of, you know, some speculation is going to be, we'll talk about the winner of the main event against Adam Cole at Forbidden Door, although I could see him maybe going after the IWGP Championship again, since that's what happened last year when he got hurt, but I don't know, either way. Taking Adam Cole over Chris Jericho. Alright, next up we have the Anarchy in the Arena match with the Blackpool Combat Club. Brian Danielson, Jon Moxley, and Claudio Brian Danielson, Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta taking on The Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and Hangman Adam Page. Now again, so this is the spiritual successor of the Stadium Stampede, which then led into the Anarchy in the Arena, which they had last year. So, you know, makes sense. You know, they're not in, you know, the stadium or next to the stadium anymore. So makes sense for Anarchy in the Arena. But it's like you have the unsanctioned match and then the Anarchy in the Arena match. Maybe a bit overkill. Guessing those will be spread out, in the night, they're not going to be back-to-back matches. Maybe just have them at the same time. Why not? It's unsanctioned, right? So, and you have all the nonsense involved with the Jericho Appreciation Society and whoever shows up for Adam Cole. I mean, Roderick Strong was in his corner, but you never know who might else show up with to help him out. You know, Kyle O'Reilly potentially back soon. Maybe they'll bring back Bobby Fish. I don't know. and then obviously Sabu being involved as well. So, but for as far as Anarchy in the Arena, it's a tough one. Because, you know, obviously the Elite kind of just got back together with Adam Page. But Blackpool Combat Club kind of running things. I don't know. It's tough. Let's go with Elite. I don't know. And then in the main event of the evening, the Four Pillars four-way match for the AEW World Championship. You got MJF defending against Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Now, they had some nonsense tournament that made no sense. With Sammy Guevara beat Jack Perry with a countout because he was working with MJF. And then Darby Allin got a bye for some odd reason why they didn't have a triple threat match. I don't really understand. But then Sammy Guevara beat Darby Allin by DQ because of shenanigans with MJF. But then they just threw that all out and said, you know what, never mind. It's going to be a tag match with Guevara and MJF. And if Darby Allin and against Darby Allin and Jack Perry, if they win, then they're in the match. But it's a four-way and blah, blah, blah. And then Sammy Guevara and MJF kind of falling out and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, four-way, MJF, Guevara, Allin, and Jungle Boy. MJF's winning. I don't see them taking up the title off of him. So, there we go. MJF to retain. So, MJF, Adam Cole, potentially for Forbidden Door, is what the rumor mill has kind of been speculating about. So, in those prospective matches, I think both those guys would win. But you never know. It's Forbidden Door, so there's other champions. There's, I don't know how many championships there's going to be involved. There's like a million championships between the two promotions. Especially if you count like the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong. There's a bunch of titles in there. Then you got the IWGP titles, and then there's like the open weight stuff, and I don't know. There's too many championships to keep track of. But there we go. That's it. Those are all the matches for the weekend for AEW Double Nothing, which is Sunday night. Kick the 0 hour or whatever they call it. I forget what it's called now. It was like the buy-in, but I think they now call it 0 hour. That's the pre-show. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of matches added for that, which I don't know what they are at this point. I think that starts at 7. The main pay-per-view is at 8, which you can get on Bleacher Report or, you know, standard traditional pay-per-view. Then you got a NXT Battleground, same time, but on Peacock and whatever. It's a premium live event. And, of course, Night of Champions on the Saturday afternoon on Peacock, 1 o'clock start time, 12 o'clock kickoff show. And there you go. So that's all the wrestling talk. Now, the one thing I will throw out there, sports-related. Now, the Nuggets swept the Lakers, so happy about that. The Heat were about to sweep the Celtics, and then Celtics won a game. As I'm recording this, Game 2 is going to start in a few hours, so we'll see what happens there. Can the Celtics do it? I mean, it's kind of funny to me, though, that it was in Miami for Game 4. They had A-Rod and Jeter in the crowd, and the Celtics win. Maybe that's going to spark the greatest comeback in NBA history. Of course, the Red Sox had the greatest comeback in baseball history, and the one and only team to have come back down 0-3. Now, it's happened in hockey a bunch of times, but it's never happened in basketball. So, you know, just had to mention that. Now, in hockey, and speaking of hockey, we got the Panthers swept the Hurricanes to make it to the Stanley Cup Final. And the Vegas Golden Knights could do the same tonight against who are they playing? The Stars. Yeah, I was like, wait, who are they playing again? Yeah, the Dallas Stars. So, yeah. So, could, I mean, it almost happened that all four conference finals for both sports were all sweeps. Now, the Celtics ruined that, but they still could both be over tonight anyways, if the Golden Knights sweep the Stars and then the Heat, you know, win Game 5. But we'll see what happens. So, that's all I got, you know. I don't want to say it, but there is potential I could be headed to Game 7 on Monday for Memorial Day. I doubt it. A lot still has to happen till that comes to fruition, but it's still on the table at this point. So, all right, that's going to do it, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. A lot of wrestling talk today, but I throw in a little sports for you there. So, again, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or Amazon. Let's check out Instagram and Twitter, @OneManRenegade, the One Man Renegade Productions page over on Facebook. Check that out as well. And One Man Renegade Production, because there's more to it. There's the YouTube channel, One Man Renegade Production. Head over there, subscribe over there, watch all the videos, like all the videos, share all the videos, comment on all the videos, all that fun stuff. And then, check out eBay. I don't have anything up for sale, but go save me as a seller at Razor Vader. There's the blog too at razorvader.blogspot.com. Check that out if you want to as well. And that's going to do it. I'll be back probably in a few weeks. Start talking about, maybe hopefully celebrating NBA Finals Championship. That'd be amazing. It'd be crazy if that ended up happening. I have my doubts, but that'd be crazy. Also to discuss AEW Forbidden Door potentially, or, you know, probably. And then, you know, got the next week we got Money in the Bank over in jolly old London. And then, of course, right after that, you have 4th of July. So, yeah, all right, whatever. But that's gonna do it for today. So thank you everyone for listening. Stay safe, have fun. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Yeah.